Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
Well, it's happening this weekend and next weekend. We were kind of all dreading this. If you do travel in these circles this weekend, May 31st through June 3rd, and then again next weekend, June 7th through June 10th, traffic will be detoured off of Route 1 and off of I-95 in Stamford at Exit 9. Now, major delays are expected, and motorists are strongly advised to avoid this area. This is a bridge replacement, a major construction project, and well, it's going to eat up the next 2 weekends in those areas. But once these weekends pass, then that's it. I guess everything's cool, everything will be in place, and you really don't have to worry about it anymore. But according to what we've been reading, Alan has reported it on the news, with these 2 weekends, with them working furiously the way they're going to be doing over the next 2 weekends, there's going to be 2 years worth of work done in this short span of time. So in the end, it does work out.
Isn't that a positive inconvenience in a way? Yeah.
I'd say so. Yeah. No, absolutely. And you made a good point. At least we've got some good weather this weekend. Could you imagine if they had decided to start it last weekend or the weekend before?
Because wasn't it just a couple of months ago they were doing the they were tearing down the towers in Stamford, and it got delayed because of the weather.
Right.
I guess that was during the winter time.
Right.
So yeah, could you if everything was shifted 3 days away and they were dealing with these torrential downpours? I mean, it would have had to take 3 weekends. Like, no, like, get it done, give them good weather, like, let these guys and like do what they got to do, and that way, like, all right. Fine.
Yeah. And then we could just go on with our lives. Now, the detours will begin Route 1 at 9 p.m. and I-95 at 11 p.m. on Friday, May 31st. That's today. And Friday, June 7th. And then it will end on Monday, June 3rd and Monday, June 10th at 5 a.m. So they're hoping to have everything cleared up Monday morning before the rush hour begins. And I know. We say, oh, we've got to avoid that area. We'll stay away from there. Don't worry about it. If you're like me, you always forget. Always. You always forget, and you find yourself, oh, God, oh, my God, now what do we do? So just avoid those areas. Let the workers do their thing, and it'll be over before you know it.
Yeah, well, hopefully, as you're driving towards that area, then you start to realize you see all these red lights, and then it'll dawn on you, hey, maybe I'll make a left now so I can go somewhere else.
Absolutely. So there you go. Now, I live kind of in that area. Mm-hmm. I'm always around in that area. That bridge replacement, that's been over there for, oh my God, I want to say a year or maybe better. It's been sitting there. They've been waiting to do this project.
I guess they just needed the time to be right, and probably like budgets and stuff. Like, don't they have to do things, their budgets open up in like June? Mm-hmm. Like, you think that like the fiscal year is like January to December, but I think that has to do with the roadways, and yeah, they don't get their budgets until this time of year. So now it's like, okay, now we can do it.
There you go. Well, they're going to do it. All right. No avoiding it. So make sure this weekend, next weekend, traffic will be detoured off of Route 1 and off of I-95 in Stamford at Exit 9 for that major construction project as they put that bridge back into place.
It's Friday, and WICC 600 goes green. Let's spend a few minutes with our gardening expert, Bob Ferrigno. Sponsored by Treeland Garden Center and Nursery in Bridgeport on WICC 600.
All right, Bob Ferrigno is here. He's our gardening expert. Bob, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Tony. Good morning.
All right. Anything happening there in the store that we need to know about?
Well, Tony, just remind our customers and our listeners that we are completely stocked with our gardening needs, soils, sod, mulches, perennials, and annuals, and also a complete line of grass seed and fertilizer for lawns and gardens as well.
All right, sounds good. So make sure you check out Treeland Garden Center and Nursery for all of your gardening needs, 1000 Huntington Turnpike in Bridgeport. Let's get rolling here, Bob. Is there a plan for grouping containers of vegetables to maximize production?
Yes, Tony, the listeners could consider a plan to better utilize space and make production and harvest better and easier. This would be a plan to group hardier vegetables with hardier vegetables. For example, group cabbage, kohlrabi, onion, and spinach in one area, and more hardy vegetables like beets, carrots, and lettuce very close to the above area. The reason for this segregation part are planted early. These plants and vegetables are planted earlier and also harvested earlier as well. Also, there are multiple times these vegetables can be planted in one season and harvested later as well. With these vegetables away from, say, tomatoes, peppers, and cucumbers, it makes the garden easier to access and work. The end result will be more production per square foot from vegetables. So similar crops with similar plantings plus easier maintenance will generate more production from our gardens.
Okay, if our listeners have seeded their lawns this spring or last fall, what are some important follow-ups?
Yes, for our listeners who have seeded the last fall or have seeded this spring, an important follow-up is watering after the seed is germinated. Newly seeded lawns need water throughout the summer months. In many cases, grass will have difficulty surviving the summer's heat and drought without regular watering. Generally, two waterings per week is recommended, usually anywhere between 1 to 1.5 hours per week. It's recommended also, too, that the lawns be watered between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. as well. And this, what this does, Tony, is discourage any kind of fungus problem. Another important part in the use is the use of fertilizer, and that's particular starter fertilizer. It's a fertilizer that has phosphorus, the middle figure, in the formulation. Apply it at the time of seeding, and we recommend, again, applying it about 4 to 6 weeks after seeding. So two important steps to a successful seeding: fertilization and watering.
All right, Bob Ferrigno's here. He's from Treeland Garden Center and Nursery, 1000 Huntington Turnpike in Bridgeport. Now, dogwood decline, that's a big concern of many homeowners. What are your thoughts on keeping our dogwoods healthier?
Yes, Tony, many homeowners have dogwoods growing in the yards. They're trees that are hardy in Connecticut. They grow to a size that's average for the homeowner to manage, and they produce beautiful flowers and foliage. Here are a few hints to keep them healthier. They prefer areas that are not fully in sun areas. A little shade will be as helpful. Also, a maximum about 2 to 3 inches of mulch at the base and not any more. Fertilize and lime regularly. The latest application of fertilizer should be done somewhere around the end of June into early July. In the summer months, watering by placing a hose at the base of the tree and letting the water just trickle out, maybe 1 to 2 hours a week, depending on the extent of the heat and the drought. And lastly, keep a watchful eye for insects, especially borers and fungus like botrytis, anthracnose, and leaf spot. So good cultural practice, Tony, and controls of insect disease, if they are present, will keep our dogwoods healthier.
All right, let's talk moss. How do we deal with moss in our home landscapes?
Yes, Tony, there are products that give immediate control of moss, and they're a liquid or granular type. And basically, it's a type of iron, and it actually eliminates the moss itself. But longer-term control of moss is a correction in the soil. It could be lawn or actually the environment itself. Moss develops from one or more of these conditions. For example, it could be compact soil. The soil is hard, doesn't allow air to move through the soil itself. And in a case like that, we'd recommend chloration or the application of gypsum. Another condition that creates moss is shady conditions. It may be the north side of the house or maybe heavy canopy of trees. Add sunlight and air movement, and that'll help as well. Another reason for moss is low pH. Test the soil to see if the soil needs lime and how much to apply per 1,000 square feet. And lastly, moisture. Areas that are wet or moist and are conducive to moss. It may be a low area where drainage corrections are needed. So moss can be better addressed with these conditions.
Bob, where are you located?
Tony, around the Trumbull-Stratford-Bridgeport border. We're open 7 days a week, and we ask our listeners to check treelandgardencenter.com, our website.
All right, sounds good. Bob, thank you so very, very much, and we'll check you out next week, next Friday. Pleasure to have you. I'm doing just fine. Let's get right to it. There's a bill that's being debated. Tell us about that bill. Why do we need it? What will it do? And why is it being debated in the first place?
Okay, so, well, you know, one of the main things we're working on with our session this year on behalf of our members and actually all residents in Connecticut is a bill. It's House Bill 7155, and it's dealing with third-party electric supplier abuses. You know, in Connecticut, we deregulated electricity about 20 years ago, and for about the last 15 years or so, residents can choose a third party to provide their electricity supply rather than the UI standard offer or the Eversource standard offer, depending on what part of your listening audience you live in. The problem is there have been so many abuses by third-party suppliers in terms of how they get you as a customer, what the terms of their contracts are, and how they, in fact, auto-renew you into contracts without your full knowledge and understanding, and frequently into deals that are worse than the UI or Eversource standard rate. So, we've been working on consumer protections for the last 5-6 years, and in spite of everything that we've done, we're still getting suppliers that are getting hit with huge fines because of the practices that they're employing. In fact, just yesterday, a preliminary decision came down with another $1.5 million fine against Liberty Power and Direct Energy last couple of weeks ago, got fined $1.5 million. All of this because of their practices. So one of the main things we're going after is this practice of auto-renewing contracts. So if you get in a contract with a supplier, and it's, let's say, for 5 months, and you don't get the notice of your contract expiration, or you misplace it, or you don't understand the terms, and it's very, very complicated stuff, they'll automatically renew you into another contract with them frequently, and in most instances, at a rate higher than what you could get from UI or Eversource. And we just think this is wrong. The Consumer Counsel, Ellen Katz, has found that in the last 3 years, people on a third-party supplier have paid over $200 million more than they have if they stayed with the standard service. So, you know, we just don't think that's right because frequently it's the elderly, low-income folks, and people that live in the cities that are getting taken by these guys.
John, forgive my ignorance, okay? But third party, are you saying that if I get my paperwork all in order, I could start Tony Reno's electric company?
You know, Tony, it's not that complicated to become a third-party supplier in the state of Connecticut. Quite honestly, you know, most of these companies, a lot of them are just kind of telemarketing companies. You know, the ABC Electric Company, just making up somebody, can go out and literally just solicit customers, and you know, then they can buy the electricity from the market just like anybody else does. Now, you know, it's so complicated to understand that, you know, the electricity is generated at the same places they always have in spite of deregulation. Right now it's all paper financial transactions. And, you know, these guys are playing on the margins, so they kind of resort to really aggressive marketing tactics to kind of draw you in through door-to-door sales, through telephone solicitations. You know, we have volunteers that go out and make presentations on what to know and what to look out for when you're dealing with this whole process. And we tell folks, don't ever get into a contract with a supplier from a door-to-door salesman. Don't ever get into a contract from somebody over the phone because you're not getting the full picture. You don't understand what the other alternatives are. You don't understand that potentially maybe standard service might be better for you through the utility company, through Eversource or UI. So, you know, it's complicated, and, you know, we're just tired of people getting taken, and, you know, we keep bringing this fight to the legislature, and we want to really demand that they do something about it, and ending these auto-renew contracts are a huge part of that.
John Erlinghauser is here. He's with AARP Connecticut. How did we get into this spot with third-party suppliers and deregulated markets? How did it get to this point?
Well, you know, it's funny. It's like, you know, they put the cart before the horse. You know, it's like anything else. They deregulated the market. You know, the utilities had to sell off generation. They had to do away with being the supplier of electricity. And it was meant to give folks choice, you know, of suppliers under the theory that choice brings down price. Mm. The problem is they just kind of created a wild, wild west and never put fully in good protections to ensure the consumer is protected, you know, when making decisions. So, you know, it became a market rampant for abuse by a lot of companies that are just fly-by-nighters. And so now, you know, you could get 30 or 40 different options that you have to choose from for electric supplier. None of them are apples-to-apples comparison. And the only actually real way you can make good comparisons is on the state's official rate board, which is online. It's energizect.com. And if you go there, it's still even complicated because you're never, you know, managing apples to apples. It's always apples to oranges. And, you know, it was Enron, some of you may remember Enron and the big scandal with energy back, you know, multiples of years ago, but it was one of these things they cooked up, and a lot of folks are making a lot of money off of it, but not a lot of folks in the state of Connecticut are saving money as a result of it. As I said earlier, you know, the Consumer Counsel, Ellen Katz, who's the ratepayer advocate in the state of Connecticut, has found not only rampant abuse, but that the majority of folks are paying over the price of electricity of standard service by the tune of $200 million. It's crazy. You know, suppliers will tell you, buyer beware, you have to be vigilant. Hey, electricity is a necessity. We have folks that we find every day at AARP that are choosing between medicine and whether or not to keep their air conditioning on in August or their heat on in December. And it shouldn't have to be buyer beware. And so we're insisting that more protections go in so that, people are not taken. And quite frankly, if we can't get that done, then we want to just eliminate this whole market because we could just everybody save money and not have to go through this rigmarole.
In some respects, it sounds very simple. In other respects, it sounds very complicated. We're running out of time here, John, but how can people voice their concern on this issue, and how do they protect themselves?
Well, so on this issue, you could let your legislators know that you want them to call House Bill 7155 for a vote. We're having a lot of trouble because the suppliers are a powerful group of people. So they can call their legislators or email them or and when they see them on church this weekend, let them know they want House Bill 7155 to come out for a vote. If they want to make a choice on electricity, they can do a couple of things. They can call me at AARP, 860-548-3165, or they could go onto the state's official rate board, and that's EnergizeCT.com, and it's very important they spell it out and type it right into their browser so they don't get a knockoff website, but that's where they can make a comparative choice and get the most accurate information. The state puts that rate board up, and it's the only place to get good information.
John, it sounds good. Thank you so much for getting the word out. We certainly do appreciate it. Thank you so much, and hopefully we'll talk to you another time.
Thanks, Tony, and thanks for what you guys are doing to try to help us.
Anytime, right. My friend. That's John Erlinghauser, Advocacy Director for AARP Connecticut, here on WICC.
Whether or not to keep their air conditioning on in August or their heat on in December, and it shouldn't have to be buyer beware. And so we're insisting that more protections go in so that, people are not taken. And quite frankly, if we can't get that done, then we want to just eliminate this whole market because we could just everybody save money and not have to go through this rigmarole.
In some respects, it sounds very simple. In other respects, it sounds very complicated. We're running out of time here, John, but how can people voice their concern on this issue, and how do they protect themselves?
Well, so on this issue, you could let your legislators know that you want them to call House Bill 7155 for a vote. We're having a lot of trouble because the suppliers are a powerful group of people. So they can call their legislators or email them or and when they see them on church this weekend, let them know they want House Bill 7155 to come out for a vote. If they want to make a choice on electricity, they can do a couple of things. They can call me at AARP, 860-548-3165, or they could go onto the state's official rate board, and that's EnergizeCT.com, and it's very important they spell it out and type it right into their browser so they don't get a knockoff website, but that's where they can make a comparative choice and get the most accurate information. The state puts that rate board up, and it's the only place to get good information.
John, it sounds good. Thank you so much for getting the word out. We certainly do appreciate it. Thank you so much, and hopefully we'll talk to you another time.
Thanks, Tony, and thanks for what you guys are doing to try to help us.
Anytime, right. My friend. That's John Erlinghauser, Advocacy Director for AARP Connecticut, here on WICC.